This is Marathon Training Academy, episode 232.
This podcast is brought to you by CW Hemp. Have you heard about phytocannabinoids? They're in hemp and pretty popular in health circles for their ability to help maintain wellness inside and out. And now you can get the cosmetic benefits of hemp as well. The makers of Charlotte's Web, the best-selling brand of whole plant hemp extracts, now makes topical creams and balms. Just go to cwhemp.com/MTA and use the promo code MTA CWHemp for 10% off on CW products, including their new creams and balm. That's cwhemp.com/MTA. This podcast is also brought to you by Bedgear. When you're preparing to push one step beyond your personal best, you need more than a bed, you need a launch pad. Bedgear Performance Bedding uses heat deflecting, moisture wicking, and airflow technologies to get you sleeping deep so you wake up ready to perform at your best. I personally sleep on a Bedgear pillow every night and love it. You can start building your personalized sleep system today. Just go to bedgear.com, use the code MARATHON20 to get 20% off. That's bedgear.com, and use the code MARATHON20. Bedgear, sleep fuels everything. Welcome to the Marathon Training Academy podcast, where it's all about inspiring you to take your running to the next level. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Angie.
In this episode, we share inspiration from the running community as we ask people what got them into this crazy world of marathoning and what running has taught them about life. And in the quick tip segment, we recommend some books that will fuel your passion. And to get more motivation tips and expert help in your training, you can find out about Academy membership when you visit marathontrainingacademy.com. So, Angie, you finished one marathon 2 days ago, and I've already signed up for another.
Right, just because it's one that tends to sell out, even though the marathon is not till June of 2018. I did go ahead and sign up for the Grandma's Marathon in Minnesota.
And you finished the Rehoboth Beach Marathon 2 days ago.
That's right.
Are you still sore?
A little stiff. Not too bad, though.
Yeah, and we're going to be doing a race recap about the Rehoboth Beach Marathon in our next episode, so you can be looking forward to that. I tell you what, last night we were watching the news, and they did a story about a World War II vet who turned 100 years old and celebrated his birthday by going out and running.
Yeah, this man's name is Orville Rogers of Dallas, Texas. He is a World War II veteran, and I believe he was a pilot during his working career, and his family and friends gathered together on Saturday to run a combined total of 100 miles to honor his 100th birthday.
That's awesome.
And he's been an active runner for the past 50 years. So he actually didn't start running until he was 50. And during that time, he participated in 5 marathons. And he basically said that he stays active because he would hate to be bedridden in his last years, not being able to be up and active and enjoying my family, enjoying life. So that was his motivation to run, so he can be active, take care of himself, and live life to the fullest.
That is exactly how I want to be at 100. How about you, Angie?
I have no aspirations of living that long, but if I do, I still want to be running.
Angie's more of a realist. Having worked at a nursing home as a nurse, you definitely have strong opinions about how you want to go out.
Yes, well, Mr. Orville Rogers is an inspiration, even though he is the exception to the rule. He obviously has been doing a lot of things right, and he seems to have a very positive and upbeat attitude, and it's gotten him this far, so it's really exciting to see such a positive story like that.
I know, it's so awesome. So just remember, folks, if Orville Rogers can go out and run on his birthday at 100, you can go out and run on your birthday. It's a great way to celebrate birthdays, going out on a run. So throw a party for yourself and then tell everyone who comes that after a cake and ice cream, everyone has to go run off the calories.
Before the cake and ice cream, give them some incentive.
There you go. Well, we have a lot to get into with this episode, so we're just going to jump right into it. And it's going to be a unique episode because it's really kind of a crowdsourced, community-generated show because we have a lot of great thoughts, tips, and stories from people out there in MTA land. I'll tell you how this came to be is we did our first ever virtual half marathon. It was in November. We had about 350 people participate from all over the world, which is great. I mean, If you're listening to this and you participated, thank you so much. If you didn't have a chance to participate, we're probably going to do it again next year. So you can look forward to that. So a big word of thanks to all of our U.S. runners who participated in the MTA virtual half. And do you want to guess what the most popular state was for people signing up?
Pennsylvania? Texas?
Texas was number two.
California.
California was number one.
Yes.
Yeah, we had 23 people in California run it and 17 people in Texas. That was second place. Third place was New York, 15 people. And then great participation all over the map. Every U.S. state except three. So 47 U.S. states plus the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico.
Awesome.
We've also had a great participation rate in Canada with the following provinces and territories: British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Ontario, Quebec, Nova Scotia, and the Yukon.
Awesome.
So thank you to all our Canadian running friends. And then to the best of my gathering of info, we had runners from the UK, Ireland, Norway, Sweden, Estonia, Denmark, Germany, Switzerland, Spain, Australia. Big showing from Australia, from Western Australia, Southern Australia, New South Wales, Victoria, and Queensland. Then we also had New Zealand, Kuwait, the Bahamas, Israel, Colombia, China, Hong Kong, Sri Lanka, and Japan. So we had people out all over the world running the MTA virtual half. And as we, you know, heard back from runners and saw their photos and reports, you know, three things came to mind. Number one, running is an all-weather sport. Number two, running is the best way to explore the world. We had just people out in amazing places, running through cities or running through national parks. And number three, running with friends and family is a great way to bond. We had husband and wives do this together, mothers and daughters. We even had three generations out together and friends and family. It just, yeah, it was cool. There are people who didn't sign up for the race, but yet were out there running with and supporting friends who did. So a lot of love, a lot of inspiration, and that's what we want to share with you. And even if you didn't participate in this event, I know you're going to benefit from this episode because we're going to be just giving you some thoughts from the running community. And as you probably know, runners are very encouraging people. We're going to go ahead and get into the thoughts from other runners right now. All right. Well, I'm not sure what to call this. I think we'll call it From the Running Community with Love. As people are finishing their races and they're, you know, leaving comments in the group that we set up or sending in, you know, things via email, Angie was like kind of hard to keep up with. There's so many wonderful reports coming back. So we don't have time to read everyone's and give a shout out to everybody, but we've went through and collected some that we're going to read now, just sort of to give you guys a window into what folks were doing. So some shout outs here. Angie, what do you got for us?
Well, we'd like to say congratulations to Pat. He says, I finished my MTA virtual half in Hawaii today. It's really significant to me because it symbolizes my comeback from injury. Plus, I get a great swivel head medal.
Of course, Pat is referring to the finisher's medal that we had designed for this race, in which Angie and I appear on the medal and Angie's head is a spinner.
Someone suggested that next year both of our heads should spin. And this note comes from Stephanie. She says, I just wanted to share my boyfriend and my gratitude for putting on a great race. My boyfriend has never really run before meeting me, and he wanted to be supportive of my sport and run a race with me. We decided to complete it on November 17th at our local YMCA. It was not only my boyfriend's first half marathon, but it was his first race ever. I was wondering if you could give him, David, a shout out on the podcast. I'm extremely proud of him for releasing the Kraken through some mishaps, asthma, and a malfunctioning watch. But he was able to finish in an excellent time and did not give up. We had a ton of support from our YMCA and were even featured on their Facebook page and from our family. My younger sister came and ran the last few miles with us, and my youngest sister literally cheered us on in front of our treadmills. My mom brought us smoothies to cool down after our run. The staff at the YMCA kept checking in with us and our mileage. We were blessed with a great support group. Thank you again for such a wonderful race, and we hope to do it again in the future.
That is really fun. Thank you, Stephanie, for sending that in. And I think David gets massive boyfriend points. What do you think, Angie?
Oh, yeah, of course. And this note comes from Margaret, who ran the event with her son-in-law and her daughter. She says, we did it. I love running with my daughter, who stayed with me to the end. My son-in-law beat me by more than an hour. Thank you, Angie and Trevor, for your support. I can hear your voices in my head.
What are the voices telling you, Margaret? Well, that's great. So cool that your daughter and son-in-law ran it with you. And we saw that a lot. Families getting out and doing it together, which was always very cool to see.
That's right. This note from Tina, she posted a picture after her run. She said, it was a chilly day in northern New York. It was so cold, my phone froze, so no selfie from the run. But she ended up taking one afterwards.
So cold, my phone froze. What about that?
But she stayed strong. Congratulations, Tina. And this one comes from Rebecca. She says, I completed my half marathon around the leafy suburbs of Brisbane. It was raining heavily most of the time, and I was underprepared, and it was brutal. I doubted that I could actually make it. But I channeled Angie running the New Jersey Marathon and pushed through. Thanks heaps for organizing this event. I can't wait to get my medal. And she included a hashtag. What would Angie do?
Yeah, I don't know if that's a real hashtag or not, but I like it.
It is now.
What would you do, Angie? Would you just keep running in the rain?
If I had a goal, I would, yes.
Yes, because you're so type A.
This note comes from Stephanie. She says, after a hectic and stressful summer and fall with minuscule training, I decided to get up this morning and do my virtual half before work. The 4:18 a.m. start time meant I could do 13.1 miles and still have time for a leisurely breakfast. Thanks, MTA, for motivating me.
4:18. I don't know if anyone started earlier than that.
Even as a morning person, that is really early. So congratulations.
That's just a scary number to me, you know, 4:18.
That's like when you go to bed.
I'd rather try to run a 4:18 marathon than get up at 4:18.
Yeah, right.
And here's one from Constantine. It says, decided to run the virtual half this morning. It was cold, hailed, rained, and snowed. Perfect running weather.
Okay. There's some toughness right there.
Yeah. All right, and here's one from Beth Goodwin. She says, MTA half complete. I wouldn't be lying if I said it was the only reason I got outside and ran today. I've been sick all week and didn't know if I'd be able to run the pace that Coach Dominique set for me, but I blew it out of the water. I just wanted to be done and out of the cold. Well, that'll help you.
Good motivation.
Yes. I listened to Angie's recap of her 50th marathon and helped me realize what a gift running is. I agree, Beth. Thank you for that. Here's from Gabriel Pagan. He says, I had completely forgotten about this event. I live in Puerto Rico and I've been without power since Irma for some 60 plus days. Holy crap. He says, running water is inconsistent and data service has improved but still spotty. It's finally safe to run my usual routes. I really need stuff like this to restore some normalcy to life. Wow. So Gabriel, our thoughts are with you, man. And Gabriel's the one runner we had from Puerto Rico. And of course, he signed up before the hurricane hit, but decided to go through with it and get out there and run. So major props, Gabriel.
That's right.
This one is from Luis from Colombia. We did have one runner in Colombia. Luis, thank you so much for representing Colombia. He says, thank you so much, Trevor and Angie, for putting this together. My participation was a way to say thank you for the excellent podcast over the last 7 years. Well, he's been a longtime listener, hasn't he? He says he's listened to every episode since number one.
Wow.
Should get points for that. He says, and most of what I know about running has been through you. It even inspired me to launch my own running podcast in Spanish. So thank you for those nice words, Luis, and congrats on finishing your half in Colombia. And I'll let you read the last one.
All right, this one is from Lena. She says, it took me all of November to admit to myself that I wasn't ready to run a half marathon again after having a baby in July. Though the training goal did motivate me to get out for some nice runs. So instead, I took my 4.5-month-old daughter with me for a long walk with a stroller. We were out 4.5 hours, including a nursing stop outside in a bus station. It was a lovely clear winter day with temperatures starting at -2 Celsius, but it warmed up just above freezing during the day.
Wow. And I think the baby needs a medal too.
That's right. That's some dedication.
I need a little tiny baby Angie and Trevor medal to send them.
It might scare the baby.
So, yeah, I mean, tons of amazing shout-outs like this we've been receiving. You know, I wish we had time to read them all. This is just a sampling. Definitely big congrats to everyone who finished the MTA virtual half. You guys are awesome. You inspire us to do what we do. And really, when it comes down to it, to run a virtual half marathon, you're not showing up to a starting line with a bunch of other runners. You're pushing yourself to get out the door. So it does take some self-discipline. And like we talked about on our last episode, making yourself do the hard thing. And I think that's kind of why a lot of people signed up, because they knew that it'd be good, you know, good training for them to push themselves to do the hard thing.
And sometimes as the winter months hit in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, people's motivation tends to lag a little bit, or around the holidays.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to stay as motivated. So, you know, maybe it was a good motivation for people just to keep up the good work.
And speaking of the winter, we're going to have a special guest who is a runner in the Yukon talk about what it's like to run up there. He is training for his first marathon, and he's going to do zero treadmill running. It's all going to be outside. His name is Icebeard Ed, is what we're calling him. So, if you guys have seen the photo of Icebeard Ed, his beard just completely covered in ice, head over to our website if you haven't seen it, or our Instagram. So definitely badass points for Ed and everyone who has had to run in like sub-zero temps. So I wanted to talk to him because it will really take away all of our excuses for not getting out and running in the cold. You know what I mean? We're going to play this conversation with Ed McLean, who ran the MTA Virtual Half in the frozen Yukon Territory in northern Canada. Hope you enjoy it. Play that for you right now. All right, I'm talking now with Ed McLean. His voice is a little hoarse because he was vigorously cheering at a hockey game last night. Ed, great to have you on the podcast.
Thanks so much, Trevor, for having me.
What game were you at?
My team's the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're playing the Edmonton Oilers last night. So we flew down from Yukon just to come down and catch the game, and we're heading back tonight. So,
like a true Canadian.
That's right. It was a great trip, yeah.
So how long have you lived in the Yukon?
I've been in Yukon for 12 years now, originally from Labrador, the other side of the country. Yeah, also very cold and great spot. I love the Yukon.
So you participated in the virtual half and posted this picture with like your whole beard covered in ice, and it got quite a response. Can you give us a little backstory there? Like, how did your run go?
Well, the run was challenging for all different kinds of reasons, but the cold being the main factor. I'm pretty new to running. This is going into my third year. Mm-hmm. I didn't do much winter running. I was kind of mostly running, you know, from April through to, you know, the end of October. And when it started getting too cold, the last couple of years, I stayed away from it. However, I signed up for the Yukon Arctic Ultra up here. They have multiple distances, and the shortest distance being a full marathon. Mm-hmm. And that race is on February the 1st. And you actually run that on the river, on the frozen Yukon River.
Wow.
And so the winter running is a must right now to get used to it, as I'm going to be running that in February. So I needed to get accustomed to running in the cold. That picture, I grew up that beard to try to help keep warm. I don't like anything over my face when I'm running. Mm-hmm. So I thought the beard would help keep me warm. And shortly into running in those temperatures, I quickly realized the downside to that is having all that ice on your face. It's pretty crazy.
How does that ice form there?
I guess just through my breathing. You know, it was minus 29, I think it was that day. And so running along, and I guess just through my breath and the condensation from warm breath. I'm not exactly sure, Trevor, you know. I was going along, and I was getting some water from my bottle, and I could feel the ice hit the bottle. And I'm like, I had to stop and take a picture to see what it looked like. And I was pretty shocked to see that icicle dangling from my lip. So
I've got a chart in front of me, which shows me Celsius and Fahrenheit. So minus 29 Celsius would be around, I think, minus 21 Fahrenheit. That's cold, man.
It is cold, my friend. It is so cold. But, you know, they have great great gear for running in the winter, as I'm finding out.
Yeah.
So it's keeping me going. However, I still don't like having things over my face while I'm running, although I may end up having to get something. So we'll see.
What gear have you found to be helpful?
I use a merino wool base, like a base layer. I have a Arc'teryx Atom jacket. It's nice and light, but it keeps you nice and warm. I was running with some gloves. I just picked up a pair of mitts to see if that would help kind of keep my hands a bit warmer.
Yeah.
But just, I think, just having the dry wick stuff, you know, for a hat over, you know, it's been great.
What about your shoes?
I was just about to say that, Trevor. I still haven't found a pair, because it's my first winter running, that will keep my feet warm in those kind of temperatures. I know they're out there, so I'll do some exploring in that area. I'm not too sure, but it wasn't too bad. But I think for the longer runs, when I start getting up into the, you know, in those long training runs at around 30K, I could see how that's going to be problematic if I don't get something warm for my feet. So,
yeah. So you probably dress in layers, I imagine.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, I do. Yeah. And I think that's key. You know, you don't want to get too hot, but being able to gauge the temperature. And I'm relatively new to running, period. So I have a friend who's kind of trying to help me along up here, and he's will kind of direct me in the right way to go to pick up clothes and whatnot. So
perfect. So at what point do you just say, okay, I'm just going to run on the treadmill today?
That's not going to happen.
Really?
That's not going to happen. No, I my friend up here who's you know, helping me along through my runs, he has done this full marathon on the river, Yukon River. He's done it twice. And one time it was minus 35 or something like that, I think he said. Mm. And he said the toughest part for him was getting used to the cold. And he said one piece of advice from him was to get out no matter what the temperature. And be safe, you know, be somewhere where you're able to get to a warm spot pretty quick. But in case, you know, you get in any kind of trouble, but really just get used to it, because it's you don't know what the day is going to bring when race day comes.
That's smart. Why did you decide to take on such a tough marathon as your first marathon?
Well, I didn't have a lot of, I guess it was lack of choice. I shared with you guys in a post. I was when I started running, even before I started running, I was like 430 pounds, and wow, lost a substantial amount of weight. But I realized through that process, I'm a goal setter. I need to have goals. Yeah. And so I signed up for races. My first race I signed up for was a 5K, and I just enjoyed it. And I like the challenge of, you know, pushing myself and challenging myself. But there's not much to pick from in the winter in the Yukon. There's lots of races in the summer to sign up for, but not much going on in the winter. This was the only one that was there, and it was the shortest distance. And when I signed up for it, I had quite a bit of time left before you know, a lot of training time there. So I thought I could build up to it.
Well, there is wisdom to it too, because after you do this marathon, subsequent marathons, if you decide to do more, are going to seem pretty easy in comparison, I would imagine.
Well, yeah, that's what my buddy said too. He's like, you do this one here. He said, you know, the summer marathons are going to come much easier to you. So
yeah, I commend you for jumping into this. This sounds like quite an adventure, and congrats on all the weight loss and the journey you've been on. I mean, for people that might be curious, if you don't mind sharing, how much do you weigh now?
I'm weighing in just under 230 pounds. So I've lost just over 200.
Wow.
200 pounds. And I've been listening back on the podcasts and learning about running form and stuff like that, and trying to stay, I'm a big boy still, but I quite enjoy running, and it's a good way to kind of just challenge myself. It's been good to me. So
now, I've been to Whitehorse in the summer. It's a beautiful place. In the wintertime, how many people do you see out running?
Not many. I went on that virtual half marathon, and I seen one other runner who she's also signed up for the Arctic Ultra there. So I seen her, and we kind of high-fived in passing, but she was the only other runner I seen over that 21-kilometer span. There was nobody else out, and it was quite funny. So I was running down by the river, and there was a group of tourists just getting off a bus, and there three of them came up in there. Can we get a picture? Can we get a picture of you? Like, you know, because I had the icicle hanging from my mouth, and yeah, it was quite funny. They just could not believe that I was out running, and well, I guess where they were coming from. I guess they didn't have snow. It was all pretty new to them, so it was pretty funny.
It is, folks. You got to see the picture. It's amazing. I posted it on our Instagram and got a ton of responses. And one guy, I think he might live in Florida, he says, this is from Instagram. He says, "A time comes when it is a little bit too much. This may be that time."
It's hard to disagree with that, but you've got to work with what you got, right? And,
exactly.
And that's the weather we're dealt. So, yeah, the Yukon is beautiful. Like you said, it's beautiful in the summer. It's beautiful in the winter as well. It's great. You get the northern lights, and it's just a beautiful place to live. It really is.
Well, I think this conversation is going to take away our excuses for us that don't want to get out on a cold day. So, folks, just remember, Ed is out there. He's running in minus 30 Celsius, which would be like minus 22 Fahrenheit, like 20 below. You're out there running in 20 below. You're making it happen. You're an inspiration, Ed. Stay safe. And I look forward to watching your journey to running that Arctic marathon.
Thanks. Yeah, no, Trevor, I'll keep you guys posted for sure. And I just want to say I'm new to the MTA and the whole community there. And I just want to say thanks to everyone. That's it's been great reading people's comments, and the virtual half was fantastic, and seeing what people were doing out there. It's you talk about inspiration. It's a great community to be part of. And so I just wanted to say thanks to you and Angie and the MTA community. It's great.
Awesome. Happy to do it. All right, I'm going to let you go, man. Rock on.
All right, Trevor. Take care, buddy. Have a good one.
You too. I do want to make some special mentions. Maybe if we can give some badass points out here. First of all, shout out to Tracy Pfeiffer. She was out there doing her event and took a fall and posted some photos in the group of just these horrible bruises. You know, thankfully she didn't get like a concussion or anything, but you know, had a black eye and big bruise on the side of her head. And she says, I tried to run around a speed bump in the road and got a speed bump of my own right on my face. I tore my favorite pants, got owies on my knee, shoulder, and hand, and got my first fall as a runner. After that, I walked the last 3 miles in the dark, but finish, because mama didn't raise no quitter. She says, I just got to see Angie's head spin.
Congratulations, Tracy.
Yes, massive badass points to you, Tracy. And probably the photos that generated the most comments and likes were sent in by Daniel Minnick, who is in the Navy, and he was on board the USS Nimitz. Here's what he said. Ran the virtual half on board USS Nimitz on the 22nd of November on a treadmill with a great view. The rocking of the ship does add a little bit of a challenge, but all went well.
And we have to add that Daniel completed in 2 hours, 7 minutes, and 49 seconds, but he took a trip over the international dateline in the middle. So actually, his official time would have been negative 21 hours, 52 minutes, and 11 seconds. So that's got to be some kind of world record.
I know, yeah. He's running so fast, he's going back in time. That's amazing. Yeah, and as far as we know, Daniel is the only one who completed his virtual half on board an aircraft carrier. That's kind of hard to duplicate. But like I said, we did have folks running all over the world, some very amazing places, and we are just very impressed by all of you. Want to say, too, a special word of congrats to everyone who did this as their first half marathon. We are so honored that you ran the MTA virtual half as your first 13.1 or 21.1. Here's just one comment we got from a first timer.
And this one comes from Abby. She says, hi, Angie and Trevor. Last Saturday, I ran the virtual half marathon, which was my first half. I'm a 17-year-old girl from Pennsylvania, and I started running 4 months ago to improve my fitness. But when I found your podcast, it opened the running community to me, and I fell in love with running. When I heard about the virtual half, I decided to challenge myself and sign up. With only ever running a 5K distance, I didn't think I could do it. But your running wisdom got me to my goal strong and healthy. Your podcast has taught me so much, and I definitely could not have done this without either of you, because both of you inspire me to become the best lifetime runner I can be. During the virtual half, I felt confident and happy almost the entire time, and during the tough last 2 miles, I even yelled, release the Kraken. Listening to your podcast and yelling that phrase got me through the 13.1 miles without needing a walk or stop break, something I once thought impossible. Don't stop what you're doing, because every day you create new passionate runners like me. I plan on doing the MTA virtual half every year you have it, and one day becoming an official member.
So I'm wondering if people heard her yell it. If there were people around when she yelled, release the Kraken. If it was me, I would have waited till no one was around. So big congrats, Abby, on finishing your first half marathon. And just to think that, Angie, we've been responsible for creating a new runner. That is, it just makes my day.
Yes, it's very exciting.
So one thing we did when we had the opportunity is we asked folks from the community, what are some of the reasons that you got into long distance running? So we just want to share some of these comments that came in. And as we do, maybe you can think about your own reason for getting into running, because it's important to know that, because you kind of go back to it time and again as you develop as a runner.
All right. Jessica says, in 2013, I was very overweight and unhealthy, and I had been for many years. I decided I needed to make a change, so I started walking. A quarter of a mile was tough for me at the time, but I kept going. My husband would go out with me, and once he couldn't go, so I went by myself. It got dark, and I was scared because I was on my own, so I ran as much as I could, telling myself I'd get home faster. It was pure fear that got me going, but I realized after that, hey, why don't I start to run? Fast forward and I've run 9 half marathons and am signed up for my first marathon in January. It's amazing what the human body is capable of. On a lighter note, Steven says, I started running so I could offset all the craft beer I was drinking. I stuck to a 2 miles per beer ratio, which worked out great, until I started getting up to the 20 miles plus per week.
Oh, man after my own heart right there.
Fett says, heading into the age of 40 scared the life out of me. There were also inspiring coworkers whom are runners. I started in 2012 and never looked back. I have a love and hate relationship with running, but I found it got me through some hard times. The feeling of accomplishing my first half and full marathon was unforgettable. I feel like I can overcome anything these days. Dave says, I'm kind of boring. I started running in 10th grade and never stopped. I'm now in my 48th year of running.
Well, why stop now, Dave?
That's right.
You got momentum, my brother.
I don't think he's planning on stopping. That's awesome. I hope to be able to say that someday.
Yes.
Beth says, I started running in 2015 because I wanted to lose weight, and my sister ran a marathon and inspired me. I was only going to do a local 5K because it was put on by a winery and I liked their wine. But now I've done 4 fulls and 6 halves. It's my me time, and I feel like I'm a better mom and spouse. It helps keep me sane, and I love all the running friends I've met. Christina says, I was never the runner in my family. That was my husband. But I started adding miles after he had major surgery that kept him sidelined for a year. It pained him body and soul to not run, so I ran for him.
Wow.
As I headed out the door, he would say, run one for me. And when I was too tired or busy, I would think about how I could actually run and he couldn't. And I thought of everyone who wants to run, who wants to do anything, but physically cannot. Because there will be days, weeks, months, maybe years when you can't. And every day that you say yes is the making of a ritual that builds force like the tide.
Truth.
Yeah, that's very poetic and true. Eli says, I've been running off and on for 10 years just for exercise and weight loss, but I hated it. 2 years ago, I did a couch to 5K program and something clicked. I wasn't struggling through runs, and I stopped using headphones because I was enjoying letting my mind wander while running. It's been a lot of fun to increase the distance and to think of myself as a long-distance runner. And of course, the tips and stories from MTA have been awesome.
5Ks are the gateway drugs to half marathons. Marathons.
That's right. Dina says, I kept adding miles after training for 10Ks. I realized the longer I went, the happier I was. Long runs bring me peace. David said, 4 years ago, my wife, out of the blue, decided to run a marathon. When she told me, I said, have fun with that. I'm never doing more than a mile. She really got into it, and eventually I got forced to run a 5K with her. After that, I was hooked, and that led to 10Ks, half marathons, and so forth.
She's got divorce papers in one hand, running shoes in the other. It's like, David, here's the ultimatum.
I guess so.
I'm forcing you. But you know, a lot of folks get into it because they're spouse. Definitely happened with me, although Angie didn't force me because I'm a rebel and I can't be forced to do anything.
I was like, you could never run. You don't have what it takes.
Yes, I do. Reverse psychology.
Tom says, I was never really a runner growing up, but I played soccer a bunch. After finishing my head and neck surgery residency, I'd gained some weight from terrible eating habits and no time to exercise. I started with 20 minutes a day on the treadmill and eventually dialed up the pace and did some running outside. I did the rock and roll half in Vegas with a buddy and had such a blast that I immediately signed up for another. After many miles and 2 injuries, I ran my first marathon in 3:04 and got my BQ.
Nice.
I have to say I'm hooked, not just on racing, but by testing my limits and the great things running brings to my life. With 5 kids and a full-time job, it's never easy, but creating space for running has become very important to me and something I hope to pass on to my children.
And he just ran the San Antonio Rock and Roll Marathon yesterday.
That's right. Yeah. We had a few MTA members who were down there doing that one. Mickey says, I always did a lot of basketball and lifting and played at somewhat high level in Denmark. When I moved to the U.S., I worked as a physical therapy assistant and always saw a lot of runners. Back in 2013, I took a running injury prevention course for my license and decided I wanted to start running. I was miserable after my first marathon, but decided that I didn't only want to do one. Now I've done 5 full marathons and 20 halves. I like getting a chance to go to a different city and run.
Yep, us runners, we're keeping the physical therapist in business.
Heidi says, I started running 7 years ago and love the challenge and peace that I find in long runs. My husband and I do our long runs together, and it's become a highlight of the week. We plan, prepare, run, and recover as a team and have lots of fun.
And you have a feeling that if we did our long runs together, it would not be the highlight of your week.
We'd probably be divorced.
Oh, you guys see what I deal with?
Andreas says, I always enjoyed running, and the marathon was on my bucket list. I waited until I was 60 to finally run one, and I must give credit to MTA. More amazingly, my wife Isabel, who was not a runner, got motivated. Wow. I think she got tired of being a spectator, and she started listening to the podcast and finished her first half this past March, and is also running the virtual half. Angie and Trevor, please keep working your magic, and with your help in the MTA community, my wife just might go for 26.2. I know she has what it takes.
Wow. Well, we believe she has what it takes.
If she wants to.
That's right. I remember after running my first half marathon, I had no intention of running 26.2. So it kind of has to grow on you. So cool, though, that you guys both run together and you did your first marathon after the age of 60. So it's never too late to start.
That's right. Debbie says, I started running to lose 55 pounds 10 years ago, but it has morphed into other reasons. I run to see how far and how hard I can push myself. I run to feel alive, to spend time with some of the best friends I've met through running, to be part of a community of people I would otherwise not have interacted with in my life. I run to stay healthy, to experience new adventures in new cities, to be at peace with myself and to be proud of myself. Running has changed my life and my outlook on life, and I will never take that for granted.
Debbie Gelber, she was a client of yours in the past.
That's right. She's been a faithful MTA member.
And a marathon warrior goddess.
That's right. She also has some of the best luck. Like, she wins all sorts of...
Free stuff.
Race entries, running gear. So I need her to buy a lottery ticket for me.
Yeah, maybe her luck can rub off on us for getting in the Tokyo Marathon, London Marathon.
Yeah. Jody says, I always liked sports and played basketball and hockey, but when I hit menopause early, I felt I needed to do something weight-bearing to offset my greater risk of osteoporosis and to relieve menopause symptoms. Initially, I just wanted to run 30 minutes without stopping, and I hit that goal fairly early on. Then I decided to try a local 5K, and the rest is history. I just finished my second marathon.
Love it. Thank you so much, Jody. Another Canadian runner that we had participate in the event.
That's right. Carol says, I started running 4 years ago at age 48 as part of a weight loss campaign. It wasn't fast or pretty, but I was hooked, and it has surprised everyone that I stuck with it as I was not into sports. I found I might not be as fast, but I had endurance, and it thrilled me just how much I could push my body. I just finished half marathon number 12, and the full Monty has been entered in July 2018, the Australian Outback Marathon with a friend.
That sounds like an epic race.
Yes.
Australian Outback Marathon. Thank you for that, Carol. You know, Angie, I think one great thing about the sport is it's open to people who are not otherwise athletic or never excelled in sports, you know, when they were younger, because it's endurance. I mean, you just get in and it doesn't have to be pretty. You just have to be tough, right?
And everyone can build up endurance, you know, so that's
mental toughness. Yeah.
That's the neat thing. Kathleen says, for me, I traded addictions. Before I turned 30, I smoked and drank a lot. I couldn't keep up with my kids, and I was always sick. Although I quit smoking, I gained a lot of weight. My sister-in-law started running, so I started with her. We signed up for 5Ks, 5-milers, 10Ks, and then a sprint triathlon. Neither of us were fast, but we were having fun challenging each other. We both trained for a half marathon and knew the next step was a marathon. Now, after 7 marathons and dozens of halves, we're both in our 50s. I'm still working toward my BQ. This is a much better addiction.
That is a great trade. Talk about trading healthy habits for unhealthy ones.
Yes.
Love it.
Brian says, my grandfather was a runner, and when he died, I ran my first half marathon. My dad then ran his first half, and he started doing marathons and joined the Marathon Maniacs Club. I did my first marathon in 2015. Less than a month later, a tornado blew down our house and the church I was pastor at. I kept running half marathons to cope with the stress, and I'm now at a new church, and I still love running. Running for me is kind of spiritual. It's like a mini version of life summed up, with all its sufferings, joys, and endurance wrapped up in a short amount of time. I love the sense of the journey in running. There's a sense of the eternal in that journey.
I definitely agree, Brian. There's some great running metaphors, in fact, in the Bible because of that very same reason.
That's right. And Claire says, I started running when I was a single mother with 2 young kids and going to school. I was constantly stressed and felt guilty doing much of anything for myself. Running became a way to manage my stress and take time for myself. I have run off and on since 2012, but I'm always happiest when I can get out and run. So I picked it up again in February and started signing up for races to keep me going. Tracy says, I was an athlete since childhood, and when I finished my college soccer eligibility, I felt a complete loss of my identity. I had a lot of free time, and for a terrible 2-month period, my life took a dramatic turn for the worse with lots of drinking. I realized that running wasn't just a hobby, but it was going to keep me out of my negative headspace and get my life back on track. The marathon makes me feel like an athlete again. I train, I push myself, and have found something that I have to work for. The distance runs have brought me to the person I've always wanted to be.
Tracy ran her virtual half in the Kansas wind in Wichita.
That's right.
So to make your run a little harder, go to Kansas on a windy day and just run straight into the wind. Good conditioning.
It's nothing to break the wind there. Jill says, I'm super slow, but I have lots of heart and perseverance. The meditative quality of a long run can't be reproduced anywhere else. I just love it.
Nothing wrong with being a slow runner.
That's right. Iris says, I started exercising and jogging after a car accident that left me with 3 herniated discs in my neck. Mm. The pain was excruciating to walk, and I suffered from daily headaches. But with exercise, I got stronger, and I did my first 5K in 2014. When my first granddaughter was born in 2015, she had 2 defective chromosomes and required 24/7 care. My daughter quit her job and moved back home. The emotional and mental drain of taking care of a disabled child is unimaginable. Then add to it the times I had to resuscitate a dying child,
wow.
Something you wouldn't want anyone to go through. I used running as my mental escape, my time to talk through issues, to cry, and I so needed the endorphins. I did my first half marathon in March, and my granddaughter passed away on April 14th. Mm. Now every run is dedicated to baby Nevaeh.
Wow. Thank you so much, Iris, for sharing that. It's great to think that running can be there for people when they're going through something like that, you know?
That's right. It doesn't take away the pain, but it does give you an avenue to cope with it a little bit better.
Definitely.
Kadri says, I first started out as something I was interested in, and now it's a big part of who I am. I've tried to build a habit of doing something repetitively. I love meditation, but it doesn't totally do it for me, so I'm doing a 100-day running streak to stay motivated through the cold months coming. Lucy said, after my divorce, I wanted to do something for myself and something that would keep me happy. I saw a magazine article that involved a combo of run-walk to build up to running nonstop. Having not run since I was a child, it seemed like a great way to get back to it. 3 years later and 20 kilos lighter, I've completed 20 half marathons and hope to complete my first marathon next year. John says, for me, it started as a way to honor my oldest son. He was diagnosed with juvenile arthritis and is unable to run or play sports. I challenged myself to keep going because I wanted to teach my sons that whatever you put your mind to and work hard at, you can accomplish. Now it's a way of life, and it helps me to have balance. It's a time when I can be lost in my thoughts and pound out the mileage. Running has changed my life and has made me a better husband, father, and pastor.
Man, these are so good.
Yeah, they are. Mark says, I started to try to get to know this really cute girl who was going to run a marathon. She strung me along and then got engaged to someone else. We were going to run the same marathon, and I decided to keep running since I was hooked. I ran it, and she did not. Anyway, along the way, I found another reason to keep running, podcast. I subscribe to 40 of them, and it's a constant battle to run more to clean out the space on my phone.
And that's from Mark Welch. Mark, all you got to do is make sure that you're up to date on our podcast, and the other ones can kind of fall by the wayside if they need to.
That sounds a bit self-serving.
Nah, I'm just kidding.
Camille says, I got into it for the challenge of running progressively for longer distances and the sense of accomplishment. It also feels special to run the marathon distance, something not many people can say they are capable of doing.
That's true. Less than 1% of the population of the world will ever run a marathon. And the feeling of accomplishment, it's hard to match. Angie, you've done 51 marathons now. Does it still feel great to finish or what?
Oh, yeah. Every finish line is special. Colette says, there are lots of very worthy reasons, and mine seems small. I love running, but started becoming bored, and I needed a challenge. So now it's this, run an A to Z half marathon in 2 years. I started last month with M for Manchester, UK, and the virtual half covers that tricky letter V.
Wow, I have never heard of someone doing that before.
Yeah, that's such a great idea. That was a new one to me, too. Brett says, I was just an average on-again, off-again runner since college, but started running more after raising my family. I joined a local running club, and in 2010, I was out for a training run and collapsed. Mm. I was diagnosed with heart failure and a bad valve. I had surgery and a pacemaker installed. I struggled for 2 to 3 years to regain my fitness, and now I've finished 7 half marathons and numerous other distances, loving every day I'm able to run. Mark says, I started out with a goal to run a marathon before I turned 40, and I got hooked.
Nothing like that big 4-0 to scare some people into action.
That's right. Amy says, I lost my mother to cancer and I had a business failure in the last couple of years. The stress became more than I could bear, and one day I decided to go for a walk, which helped. I met a lady at my new job who inspired me by running her first marathon at age 50. So at age 42, I decided to go for it and prove that you can overcome the failures and losses and not give up on my dreams. I'm just a few weeks out from my first marathon. I found MTA early in my training and have been inspired by so many episodes. Ben says, before I joined the Navy, I weighed in about 350 pounds in graduate school. I couldn't comfortably make it through a walk with friends. I decided to start losing weight to join the military and couldn't even run a lap around a small parking lot. As the weight came off, I did little test runs to see if I could do a mile and a half for the physical readiness test. Then I got curious to see if I could go farther and eventually ran a 5K. I was hooked and signed up for a half marathon a few weeks before boot camp. Even though the race was canceled, I felt a great sense of accomplishment just going through the training. I eventually jumped straight to the marathon. It was a challenging, hilly, rainy marathon, but nothing could have changed that superhero feeling and memory. No matter what I've been through, running has been my constant companion and guide. Running makes my battle with depression and anxiety better. There is never a greater struggle than to put shoes on and get out the door. But once I'm halfway into that first mile, I realize that getting out of bed was not only possible, but it was the best choice I could make for myself.
I feel the struggle to get out the door too, but have never regretted getting out there.
That's right.
Even on cold days.
And Scott says, I trained and ran my first marathon at age 56, my dad's age when he had a heart attack. It was my way of affirming life and the value of health, fitness, friendship, and the whole mind-body connection.
Affirming life. I like it. You know, I always look at it as living life to its fullest. Training for races and doing marathons, I look at them as adventures. And, you know, for those that have a hunger for adventure and to really see what you're made of, I mean, it's just an amazing avenue for that. So this has been great, just kind of going through and hearing people's reasons for why they started long distance running. The next question that we asked people and got a lot of great responses was, what is one thing that running has taught you? You know, just wanted to be simple and to the point. And we're going to read these responses in just a moment. First of all, we'd like to thank this episode's sponsor, Sun Basket. Sun Basket makes it easy and convenient to commit to healthy eating. You can pick from 12 weekly recipes and they deliver organic and clean ingredients right to your door.
Yeah, and everything is pre-measured. It's very easy to prepare so you can get a healthy, delicious meal on the table in about 30 minutes. And I have to say, last week, the Sun Basket box came at the perfect time. I had not really planned my meals for the week and hadn't gone to the store for a while and was thinking, what am I going to make for supper? And the Sun Basket box arrived with two amazing meals that I was able to make that week. So whatever your nutritional needs are, you can find a Sun Basket that fits your lifestyle and eating preferences. And of course, they're all created by an award-winning chef and approved by nutritionists. So if you're busy this holiday season like we are, skip the grocery store and the parking lot madness and discover how easy it is to stay on track and get healthy, clean meals on the table with Sun Basket.
That's right. Go to sunbasket.com/marathon today. You'll get $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/marathon. So running can be a great teacher. So I wanted to hear what people had to say. I threw this question out to our fellow runners and ask them, what is one thing running has taught you? And we got some great responses, and hopefully this will be instructive for everyone. So, Angie, maybe I'll let you read, since you're a good on-air reader. I will let you read these.
All right. Brad said, if I tell my body to do something, it will do it. I am in charge. Whether it's running one more mile or telling my body to get out of bed at 4:30 a.m. on Saturday to get my long run in.
Mind over matter.
That's right. Jill says, among my most recent ahas, I came in dead last at a local half and got the Krabby Caboose Award. It reminded me again that dead last is so much better than not leaving the couch. Coach Stephen Walden, an MTA coach, says, as a coach, running has taught me that we are all runners. Even if you don't run, if you've never run, you're still a runner. You just choose not to run. Maybe you don't run marathons, but humans are runners. So never, ever believe that you're not a runner for any reason. Ben says, one of the first things I learned was that nothing that seems impossible currently remains impossible permanently.
Yeah, I have something similar to that. I forget where I heard it first. Basically, that 99% of our limitations in life are self-imposed. Our limitations are pretty much in our mind, and we've allowed them to be there. And no matter what we're dealing with, there's someone who's dealt with it and has overcome it. And people that are out there running who've probably been through a lot worse.
That's right. Constantine says, "There is no bad weather, only wrong clothing. There is beauty in everything. We don't always see and appreciate it, though." Jenny says, "If you're running, you're a runner, and that anything is possible. I couldn't run a block when I started 4 years ago. I had terrible asthma. That was my excuse. 3 years ago, inspired to help others, my husband founded a nonprofit fitness organization to get people moving no matter the pace or place at the finish line. Today, after countless races and running adventures, my new mantra is, I have what it takes not just to run a marathon, but any distance my heart desires." Katie says, "Setting goals that are achievable is as important as setting goals that are a little scary. Achieving goals you set for yourself in running makes everything else in life seem more manageable."
I agree.
Joel says, "Running has taught me that I've become an inspiration to others, even though I'm not looking to stand out or be recognized for my achievements. I've also learned that most other runners are kind, helpful, passionate, and thoughtful."
Yeah, I think I've definitely found that to be true, having been in the running community now for a while and going to a lot of races and meeting a lot of runners. Very welcoming community. It doesn't matter how slow you are or how new you are to the sport. You sign up for a race and show up. You know, the race organizers and the people and the volunteers, they're just going to be very happy you're there and running your own pace and getting to the finish line. Everyone's on their own running journey.
That's right. Judy says, "We're stronger than we think. Our mind and thoughts are very powerful. Pre-race anxiety is our inner voice cheering us on." That's a good way to reframe pre-race anxiety.
Yeah, because I wouldn't think of anxiety as telling me anything useful.
It's just that shows that you want to do well at the race.
That's true.
So it's cheering you on. Next time that you're feeling nervous, just realize that it's just you wanting to do well and to turn it into something positive.
Yeah, you're taking the challenge seriously. That's why you're nervous. And you're not alone in being nervous. Probably everyone else is.
Eli says, "The benefits of running are mental, even more so than physical. Going for a run in fresh air improves your mood, clears your mind, and helps you think through problems. All of that and your clothes fit better." Coach Jennifer Giles at MTA says, "Running reflects life. Sometimes it feels amazing and invigorating. Sometimes it feels sluggish and difficult, and sometimes in between. But no matter what it brings on any given day, it makes us better, stronger, more compassionate, more grateful, more confident, and hopefully faster."
That is true. It can be a mixed bag. For just totally unknown reasons, you can go out there and your legs can feel like lead. And maybe you have no idea why, but just one of those things.
Tracy says, "Running has taught me how to enjoy every moment of life, whether it's painful, incredible, or just is. Every moment has value and is meaningful. Running has taught me how to enjoy the gift of being alive in this amazing world, and it is my means to explore it to the fullest." Katie says, "I can do so much more than I thought. I learned the power of setting a goal and accomplishing it, something that I struggled with early in life." Joanna says, "One thing running constantly reminds me is that my voluntary suffering can be used to help others. As a Christian, I offer up my discomfort while running to God so he can use it. The lesson is that suffering has value. Nothing is achieved with shortcuts in running, but the beautiful struggle, as Angie called it, is worth it." Beth says, "I have learned to deal with my chronic pain. I have a condition in which my nerves constantly send signals of pain to my brain. Running, particularly on trails, helps to keep my brain and body occupied to force these false signals into the background."
Wow. This seems counterintuitive, you know, running to deal with pain, chronic pain. Most people, if they have chronic pain, they would use that as a reason to not do any exercise.
That's right. It's really neat that Beth has kind of thought outside of the box and has found this method to cope with this chronic issue.
Yeah.
Julie says, "It's opened my mind to the idea I could do so many things I once thought only some people could do. Once I ran my first half marathon, I knew there must be other things out there I once thought were unachievable that I really could achieve. Running has given me the confidence to try things I never would have considered before, and it's made me more accepting of failure. If I find I'm absolutely horrible at something, I'm usually totally cool with it because at least I tried. I never had that mindset before running. Failure doesn't equal shame."
Yeah, well said.
Mark says, "Running has taught me that you can still have a lot of fun with something even if you have below average ability. I think there are many, many people who doubt their ability, but if I can do a marathon, pretty much anyone can." Coach Lynn Grieger with MTA says, "Running has reinforced that I can do anything I put my mind to. Thanks to Mom and Dad for being the original ones to tell me that. One step at a time really does lead to the finish line in races and life, and that running brings people from so many different backgrounds together with one common goal." Johnny says, "I can go the distance, even in pain." And that is a good lesson, because anyone who's run a marathon or beyond knows that's very true.
Yeah, what's that mantra that we see? pain is inevitable, suffering is optional.
Right. Kathleen says, with almost 20 years of running and racing, I've learned to embrace the wins, be humble with the tough losses, and keep believing that I have not yet hit my full potential. And this last one is from Jessica. She says, hard work and dedication pay off. No one ever said it was going to be easy, but it's definitely worth it. And just when you think you can't handle one more thing, you prove yourself wrong and conquer your obstacles.
And the beautiful thing about that is it does translate into other parts in your life. As many of you know, I mean, if you can go out there and run a half marathon or run a marathon, so many things in life don't seem as complicated or as hard. Now it's time for this episode's quick tip, and we want to talk about running books. You know, they make great stocking stuffers. Here we are coming up on Christmas, so maybe this will give you some ideas. And all the books we're going to recommend, well, just about all of them, were written in 2017, and almost all of the authors we had on the show this year, which is just a great delight for us to be able to speak to the authors. And if you've been listening to the podcast a while, you probably know that Angie and I both love to read. Angie probably reads more than I do. It's really hard to keep up with her book consumption. There's like a steady stream of books coming into our house almost every day.
And what's wrong with that?
So the first book we'd like to recommend is, if you haven't got it yet, The Road to Sparta by Dean Karnazes. It's his newest book and talks about the history of the marathon and Pheidippides and those amazing ancient Greek runners. And not only that, but this gnarly 153-mile race called the Spartathlon in Greece, which he competed in. Dean is an inspiration, so that's called The Road to Sparta. Number two.
It's Marathon Woman by Catherine Switzer. And this is not a new book, but they did release a 2017 anniversary edition. And of course, Catherine is the first woman to officially run the Boston Marathon 50 years ago and is a very inspiring pioneer in our sport.
Number three is a book called Your Best Stride by Jonathan Beverly. It's a book about running form that's immensely practical and helpful. And we had Jonathan on the podcast this year. It was one of our most popular episodes. And it's, of course, published by Runner's World. It's called Your Best Stride.
And book four is ironically called The Four Tendencies by one of my favorite authors, Gretchen Rubin. It's a great book to really understand your personality profile about how you respond to expectations, and it can really help you understand other people.
Number five is Race Everything by Bart Yasso. Bart Yasso is retiring from Runner's World. He might actually be retired officially by the time you hear this. This book is about, of course, how to prepare for races of every distance, and it really draws upon Bart's time as chief running officer. And there's lots of great stories. So Race Everything.
Book six is Peak Performance by Brad Stolberg and Steve Magnus. And it basically gets into what high performers do differently and how we can condition ourselves to achieve more in running and life. So very helpful as to the mental side of things and how to achieve breakthroughs.
Number seven is a book called Footnotes, How Running Makes Us Human by Vibar Krieger-Reed. He's a running enthusiast and academic from the University of Kent. We had him on the podcast. It's definitely a meatier book, so it's not one you're going to get through pretty quick unless you're a super genius. But it's interesting because it draws from, you know, history and biology, neuroscience, literature, psychology, environmental studies, and sort of all rolls it into one book about running, believe it or not. So it's called Footnotes, How Running Makes Us Human.
Book number eight is called How to Lose a Marathon by Joel Cohen, and he is a writer and producer for The Simpsons, who was a self-professed couch potato who decided to take the plunge into running a marathon. So he includes a lot of funny illustrations and the unique things that you encounter as a new long-distance runner.
Number nine is Train Smart, Run Forever by Bill Pierce and Scott Murr. And it's a great book for masters runners. Masters runners are those who are over the age of 40. What I liked about it is it builds on this less is more training philosophy, which a lot of our MTA training plans are also based on. Train Smart, Run Forever. And I'll take number 10. It's called My Marathon by Frank Shorter. It was actually written last year, 2016, but I thought I'd include it in this list because I ran the Munich Marathon this year and really thought about Frank's story. He was the last American to win gold in the Olympics in the 1972 Munich Games. And his story is interesting and tragic, you know, both, and just really keeps readers engaged. So it's a great read if you haven't picked it up. It's called My Marathon by Frank Shorter.
Number 11 is Headstrong by Dave Asprey. It's all about how to hack your environment and improve your cognitive performance. And of course, Dave has a top-ranked podcast called Bulletproof Radio, and he really talks about understanding inflammation in the body and its role in weight gain and mental fatigue.
And finally, number 12, High Performance Habits by Brendon Burchard. I'm actually still currently reading it. It's a book in the self-help genre, so it's not about running specifically, but one thing I like about it, it's unlike other pop psychology books, this one really proceeds in an academic style. There's no fluff. It's based on an extensive multi-year study of high performers and seeks to distill down what habits kind of rise to the top in these people. So High Performance Habits by Brendon Burchard. That brings us to the end of this list. You can actually check out a full list. Everything that we recommended on our website, we'll link to it in the show notes. And of course, we are Amazon affiliates too, which is something new after moving to the state of Pennsylvania, an Amazon affiliate-friendly state. We can now get our special Amazon link set up. So if you do decide to order one of these books and you click through our link, we'll get a little tiny kickback, which will make us do a happy dance. Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for being a listener. If you're new to running, just like to welcome you. You'll find the running community is a very inspiring place to be. Runners are very cool. And if we can be of any help to you, just let us know. And of course, we'd love to help you in your running goals for 2018. We've got a limited number of spots open right now with our fabulous MTA coaches. They can help you get where you need to go and achieve your dreams. You can check that out at marathontrainingacademy.com/coaching. Of course, be sure to check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Marathon Academy. See what's going on. And thanks again to CW Hemp, makers of Charlotte's Web, the best brand of whole plant hemp extract. Just go to cwhemp.com/MTA and use the code MTACWHEMP for 10% off. Until next time, folks, keep taking action toward your goals. And remember, you have what it takes to run a marathon and change your life. Right on my way.